This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
It is Larry O'Connor sitting in for the great one, Mark Levin. Mark Levin is in Israel right now. I think that, obviously, if you were watching Fox News over the weekend, glued to the television, watching the events in Jerusalem and the unprecedented, nauseating, despicable act of war from the maniacs in Iran. Then you saw that Mark was in Israel because he phoned in live to the shows, which is the greatest Mark Levin moment ever. But otherwise, I just want you to know he will be back later this week. I am Larry O'Connor. I'm in for Mark Levin on this incredibly important Monday in world history, really, after the events that we saw in the Middle East and what our allies in Israel are putting up with right now. And then, of course, the abomination of the upheaval of our Constitution and the basic norms of our judicial branch of government playing out in a Manhattan courtroom today. It's a big day for news. It's a big day for us to be focused in on what's most important. So I'm honored that Mark tapped me to sit in for him today. If you want to jump in today with all of the things going on in our world, we'll try to get you in and have a free exchange of ideas with you at 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. I, like you, would love to hear Mark today. I would love to hear Mark right now. We will actually hear Mark a little later because we've got the audio of his phone-in during the drone missile attacks live on the air at Fox News Channel. And I'm going to be relying on some of the things that he's written over the last couple of days as he is live on the ground in Jerusalem as we speak. I would also ask everyone here, everyone as part of the Mark Levin family, to say a prayer for Mark, his family, and for all of our family, our extended American family in Israel, as they go through probably one of the most critical crises of their existence. Now, with so much international pressure telling that nation to do what no other country would be asked to do, as they like to say, show restraint. Show restraint. Did you know that more missiles were lobbed on Israel over the weekend by Iran than Putin sent to Ukraine when that war started? Were people asking Zelensky to show restraint? Piers Morgan, this talking head in London, who likes to come on American television and lecture us about our Second Amendment rights. There's something really rich about hearing someone with a British accent and a British passport tell us why we shouldn't have a Second Amendment right. Always my favorite thing that Piers Morgan ever did. Piers Morgan taking to social media over the weekend, begging Benjamin Netanyahu to show restraint and not retaliate. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Winston Churchill did not show restraint in responding to the Blitz. Aren't you? Oh, they had the Iron Dome. They deflected all of the drones and the missiles and the rockets. So no harm, no foul, right? Right? Is that how it works? Really? Is that how it works? We're going to begin tonight, not necessarily with Iran and Israel directly, because make no mistake, this is a story of the Biden administration. This is the story of the Biden administration's complicit nature in this act of war. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that what we witnessed over the weekend is the next phase in Joe Biden's proxy war against Israel. And as I lay this argument out for you, I know that many of you are, oh, Biden's, you know, he's got mashed potato for brains, which he does. Biden isn't even in charge, I understand. But as long as his pathetic name and face is on this White House and on this presidency, as long as he is asking you for four more years, he owns this. This is his legacy now. Mr. Moderate, Mr. Unite Our Nation, Mr. Look Across the Aisle, Mr. I've been in the Senate for so many decades, I can work with reasonable Republicans. I'm the moderate one, I'm the reason. No. He and Barack Obama, over the course of their combined 11 years in power in the White House, interrupted, thankfully, by four glorious years of the Trump administration, Joe Biden and Barack Obama have single-handedly undermined our most important ally, the only functioning democracy in the Middle East, and for some inexplicable demonic reason decided that the only policy for the U.S. to support in that region is to elevate Iran, to platform Iran, to enrich Iran, to empower Iran. You know, the country that calls us the Great Satan, the country whose first major act when their new government took over after the revolution in the 70s was to storm our embassy and take our Americans hostage for 400 plus days. Yeah, those guys. The people who vow to wipe Israel off the map and the rest of us off the map, and are developing nuclear weapons as we speak. Those guys need to be empowered. Those guys need to be legitimized. Those guys need to get money. This is, make no mistake, Joe Biden's proxy war against Israel, whether he even knows it's happening or not. I want to start with the great one, though. Mark Levin, earlier today, 8:23 a.m. Eastern Time in the U.S., he wrote, from Israel, after spending the last several days in that country and witnessing the events on the ground firsthand, he took to social media at the X platform and said this: I've been doing a lot of thinking about the lunacy of Biden's Iran policy, says Mark Levin. Biden's position in refusing to support Israel for taking offensive military action against Iran means that Biden will not support any military strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities, and that Iran will have a functioning nuclear arsenal with which to threaten the United States, Israel, the Arab world, and the rest of the world without fear of military attack. The best time for Israel to hit Iran's nuclear sites with critical U.S. support would have been now. Biden's appeasement of Iran and intentional funding of Iran, lack of deterrence against Iran, and efforts at crippling Israel's efforts to neutralize Iran's military and terrorist operations ensures that Islamist fundamentalist Iran will become a nuclear power. Once that occurs, there will be few options to limit Iran's ambitions, short of a devastating confrontation with frightening risks. What will we do if Iran closes the Red Sea and other navigable waters used to transport oil? And it will also contribute even further to the firepower of the China, Russia, North Korea, Iran axis and cause other Middle East countries to acquire nuclear weapons. This is the world Biden and Blinken are creating while sanctimoniously lecturing about their efforts to de-escalate military confrontations. This is from Mark Levin earlier this morning. It's so critically important. I wanted to convey it to you. Mark Levin continues. Again, the crucial point is that Biden has not only signaled to Iran that no effective action will be taken to stop its nuclear program, but Biden has actually acted to ensure that Iran's final path to building nuclear weapons is open and clear. That's what's meant by no support for offensive military action against Iran. The idea that missile defenses are the answer to preventing offensive strikes against Israel or any country is lunacy. And if I may pause there for a moment, the missile defenses is the Iron Dome technology that miraculously stopped the onslaught of this first strike act of war that Iran sent to innocent civilians in Israel. And I just want you to know that the Iron Dome technology that everybody's praising and saying, well, now that you've got that, you don't have to worry. Number one, Joe Biden and Democrats worked against refinancing and refunding that technology because that technology is U.S. technology. And where did it originate in the U.S.? It originated under Ronald Reagan when he along with his Pentagon, imagined the Strategic Defense Initiative, which Democrats and the media derided as Star Wars, that ended up, after it was financed and researched and developed, ended up as the Iron Dome technology you see right now. And it ended up crippling the Soviet Union, helping to bring an end to the Cold War. And guess who voted against it? Guess who spoke out against it? Guess who opposed it during Reagan's presidency? Joe Biden. Joe Biden. The miraculous Iron Dome right now that has protected the people of Israel from Iran's first strike assault, that Joe Biden is now shrugging about, saying, why do you need to do a retaliatory event? Hey, you were fine. You got Iron Dome. If Joe Biden had his way, there would be no Iron Dome. Because he's been wrong about everything his entire lamentable political career. Continuing with Mark Levin. The idea that missile defenses are the answer to preventing offensive strikes against Israel or any country is lunacy. On its face, it's illogical. It's a deterrent under certain circumstances, maybe in many circumstances. But ultimately, you don't stop missile attacks by chasing another country's. You stop missile attacks with certainty by destroying that country's capacity for launching missiles and or deterring such attacks by subjecting that country to punishing offensive military attacks. Despite Biden's massive and current propaganda operation to the contrary, facts are facts. And you know how I know that's true? Because that's exactly what the U.S. would do. In fact, that's exactly what the U.S. has done. When we have done first strike attacks against countries, most recently, the Houthis, funded by Iran, which was also funded by the Biden administration, we went after their capability of attacking our interests after they killed some of our soldiers in Iraq. That's what we do every time. When we retaliate from an attack, we take out their capacities. Why is Israel the only country on the planet that's not allowed to do that? Continuing with Mark's post from this morning. Furthermore, it's beyond debate that the duplicitous Biden actually colluded with Iran through intermediaries to create the events that took place in the skies over Israel a few nights ago. And of course, Israel was in the dark about it. This is the same Biden regime that outrageously demands tactical approval over Israel's battlefield decisions. Why? Because it wouldn't have gone along with such treachery and put its people through such a heinous subterfuge. Think about how morally corrupt, among other things, the Biden regime's actions truly are. We're going to get into the details of the reports that prove that the Biden administration did, in fact, know in advance about this and coordinated with Iran about the nature of this attack. We'll get into those details a little later. Biden and the Iranian regime sympathizer Blinken coordinated with Iran over the timing, types of missiles, and even Iranian propaganda. The purpose was to prevent Israel from pulverizing Iran's military capabilities. Indeed, the Biden regime began leaking immediately to their favorite reporters and media outlets, many of the same press sympathizers they relied on during the Obama regime to promote the Iran nuclear deal, that Israel had provoked Iran and hadn't told the U.S. in advance about the planned attack on Iran's terrorist compound in Damascus. Obviously, Israel didn't forewarn Blinken because he would have leaked it to the media. Moreover, Israel is not obliged to get permission from Biden on how and whether to defend its people. Biden and Blinken are hostile to Israel and seek to overthrow its democratic government. They've repeatedly told this openly to the entire world, including the Iranians. Every one of these shocking and appalling Biden regime mobster tactics, and there are more, with the attendant scheming, plotting, leaking, usurping, and backstabbing against a longtime essential and loyal ally, which is in a daunting and bloody war literally triggered by the insane policies of the Biden regime, is beneath contempt and a stain on America's character and reputation as the world's moral beacon. And Mark Levin concludes from his post this morning, it is Biden and Blinken who are impulsive, ignorant, reckless, incompetent, and dangerous. It is they who've abandoned a rational and prudent foreign policy in pursuit of incoherent and ideologically driven utopian ambitions. It is they who've escalated military conflict on multiple continents. For them, there is no good or evil, right or wrong. Hence, they fund Iran and threaten Israel. They seek Netanyahu's ouster and the Ayatollah's approval. Be worried. Very worried. That was the great one, Mark Levin, earlier today, on an incredibly important statement that he made on the X.com platform. If you're there, you should find it, you should share it, or copy and paste it over to your Facebook if that's where you hang out. I've got more to say about this. This is a Biden story. What happened over the weekend, this unprecedented, never before in history, attack from Iran against our ally Israel would never, ever have happened if Donald Trump were in the White House right now. This is because of Joe Biden. This is because of Antony Blinken. This is because of Jake Sullivan. This is because of the Obama regime personnel who are still in the White House and pulling the strings. This is all because of them. This is a Biden story, and we're going to get more deeper into it in just a moment. I'm Larry O'Connor, sitting in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Let me be clear here. It's Larry O'Connor sitting in for Mark Levin, and I just finished reading you what Mark Levin wrote from Israel earlier this morning as he was reflecting on the last 48 hours he's had in that nation under assault as Iran has basically declared war. And are there a lot of lies going on? Oh, this is a retaliation against Israel. Bombing Iran's embassy. That's a lie. That's a lie. We'll get into those details coming up. And whenever a politician says, let me be clear, you know they're about to lie to you. But you can fact check everything I'm about to tell you. This is how I want to sum up this part of our conversation, and then we'll move on to the Biden administration's embarrassing and, frankly, un-American reaction to what happened over the weekend. But I want you to remember this. When Donald Trump became president, one of the first things he did was cut off all the so-called humanitarian aid to Hamas, because he saw that it wasn't being used for humanitarian purposes. It was lobbing rockets into Israel, and they were building tunnels, and they were terrorists. He also enforced sanctions against Iran and put pressure on our allies to divest from Iran and stop buying their oil. He moved the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and let the entire Middle East know that Israel was our ally. If anyone else wanted to do business with America, they better figure out their issues with that country. And look what happened. The Abraham Accords ushered in unprecedented peace and cooperation with Arab nations, who suddenly couldn't remember why they refused to let Israeli planes land in their airports. Biden came in, reversed everything Trump had done, except for the embassy, because he knew that would be suicide. And the next thing you know, Israelis are being slaughtered on their territory near Gaza, and Iranian missiles are raining down from the skies over Jerusalem. That's the difference an election makes. November cannot come soon enough.
Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, the champion of liberty and true conservatism. Call Mark now, 877-381-3811.
These are such serious times we're living in right now. It's Larry O'Connor sitting in for Mark Levin. I'm a radio host in Washington, D.C. I do the morning show on Mark Levin's radio station there, WMAL. Great to speak with you, and really honored to be sitting in for Mark on this incredibly important day, not only coming off of Iran's strike against Israel and their act of war over the weekend, but also, of course, today, the act of war against our Constitution that we're seeing unfold before our eyes in a Manhattan courtroom. Donald Trump's first day, the first president ever to face criminal charges. And that's all the headline that they wanted, by the way. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether this is just. It doesn't matter if this has any basis in law. It doesn't matter. All the Democrats, all the left, all the media wants, all the late night comedians who aren't funny, all they want is that headline. Donald Trump, first president ever facing criminal charges. We're going to get into all of that a little later. But I just read you what Mark Levin had to say. I gave you my thoughts on how this is really about the Biden administration. This is all about the Biden administration. Remember when they got into the White House, how they were making the case, oh, the grown-ups are in charge. The adults are back in charge. Oh, thank God we've moved on from that nightmare of 4 years where Trump and all the amateurs, you know, none of them went to an Ivy League school to learn diplomacy. And meanwhile, as I said, they got the Abraham Accords. They had got countries that had never even dreamt of making a peace accord or cooperation agreement with the state of Israel to sign on the dotted line. Yes, when the Iranian drone missile attacks occurred over the weekend, you had Jordan intercepting some of that attack. Because alliances shifted in the Middle East under Donald Trump's leadership. But now the grown-ups are in charge. John Kirby, you know, when something like this happens, you want the grown-ups to be there, to have a serious face and to be able to really speak in authoritative tones and unequivocally and just make sure that everyone understands exactly what American policy is and where the United States stands. Yeah, Saturday night, they put out a statement, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, will address the nation. An hour later, never mind, Joe Biden won't address the nation. He's already gone to sleep. All right, that last part I made up. But it's probably true. We couldn't find the doctor to shoot him with his Adderall so he could get through a 10-minute statement to the nation. These are the grown-ups that are in charge. We don't know what our policy is. Our enemies don't know what our policies are. Our allies don't know what our policies are. John Kirby, spokesperson for the National Security Council, is on with Shannon. Oh, no, this one's Kristen Welker on Meet the Press.
A lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
And are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever, Kristen.
Well, I feel better, don't you? See, this is what it's like when the grown-ups are in charge. There, that's your clear, definitive statement from your adult administration. It got worse later with Shannon Bream on Fox News Sunday. Shannon Bream asked the obvious question. We gave these people billions of dollars. In fact, let me digress for a moment. Adam Credo, one of the great writers in Washington, D.C., working at the Washington Free Beacon, April 12th. This was last week on Friday. Biden administration has allowed a series of sanctions waivers that permit Iran and Russia to engage in joint nuclear work to lapse, but won't commit to enforcing those sanctions, sowing confusion about U.S. policy at a time when both countries are building out Tehran's atomic infrastructure. The waivers, which were last renewed in August 23, expired at the beginning of 24. They provided, get ready, upwards of $10 billion in profit for Russian state-controlled firms
such as the Rosatom Energy Company, for work at Iran's various nuclear plants. Where did Iran get $10 billion to give Russia to develop nuclear capabilities? Now, I want you to hold that thought for a second, that we unilaterally lifted a sanction that allows Iran to deal with Russia. Last I checked, Russia's the bad guy, right? That allows Iran to work with Russia, give them $10 billion to develop nuclear capabilities. So here's Shannon Bream asking John Kirby, why are we giving Iran any money at all? Because they're just going to use it for terror attacks.
Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and death to Israel?
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue. I take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime.
Now, I might not be completely clear on the hierarchy at a presidential administration or at a White House and that sort of thing. Listen, he's got a big title. He's the spokesman, John Kirby is, for the National Security Council. But I think, I could be wrong, but I think the Secretary of State outranks him. Wouldn't you say? I'm open to correction on this. But here's John Kirby on Fox News Sunday saying, nah, this money isn't fungible. They can't use any of this money for terrorism. But Anthony Blinken, August 2023, on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker, asked the same question.
What do you say about the argument that money is fungible? So Iran may have known this money is coming and used other funds to help fund this attack that happened.
Iran has unfortunately always used and focused its funds on supporting terrorism, on supporting groups like Hamas. And it's done that when there have been sanctions. It's done that when there haven't been sanctions. And it's always prioritized that. And again, I come back to the proposition that from these funds have always been, under the law, available to Iran to use for humanitarian purposes.
For humanitarian purposes. So I just want you to use logic here for a minute. Because you may not think they're lying to you right now, but you understand that you just heard two very different stories. On October 8th, 2023, the Secretary of State of the United States, Anthony Blinken, said, listen, Iran's always going to use their money to pay for terrorist activities. John Kirby, Sunday, was asked, why, when we give them money, money is fungible. If we give them money, then they can use that money however they want, and aren't they going to use it to fund terrorist activities? He was laughing, by the way. Did you hear him laughing about that? Here, I want you to hear his laughter.
There have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting.
What is he laughing about? What in the hell is he laughing about? I can't believe this man was an admiral in the United States Navy. He's laughing? Oh, we've had this argument about fungible all the time. All right. So let's put all these pieces together for a minute. Let's say they're not lying. It's a stretch. But let's just say they're not lying. Put on your logic hat for a minute. They claim that any money we give to them is only for humanitarian purposes, and the Iranian regime is not allowed to use it for anything else. They can't use it to fund terrorism. They can't use it to buy nuclear weapons. They can't use it for anything except humanitarian aid. All right, let me think this through for a minute. Again, you got the logic hat on, right? Try to stay objective. Try to take them at their word. Try to think that they're telling you the truth. Their argument is, we're going to give them money for humanitarian purposes and they can only use it for that. And they can't use the money we're giving them for terror activities. Yet Anthony Blinken just said, hey, whether they're sanctions or not, they're going to fund terror activities. And we just found out that they lifted sanctions on their ability to deal with Russia to the tune of $10 billion to acquire nuclear capability. So if they've got money to fund Hamas, whether they're under sanctions or not. They've got money to fund the Houthis. They've got money to fund the Hezbollah. They've got money to buy nuclear capability from Russia. Why in the hell are we giving them humanitarian aid? Why in the hell are we feeding their people when they don't even care about feeding their people? Why in the hell is it a priority for the Biden administration to make sure that this regime has our money for so-called humanitarian aid while they're funding all of our enemies and our allies' enemies? They are either morons or they're lying. Go ahead and assume they're lying again. Because actually, I used to say, oh, they're both. They're stupid and they're lying. But no, actually, sadly, they're not dumb. They're actually quite smart. They're actually quite smart because I am determined that this is all by design. Meanwhile, the White House sent out a picture of Joe Biden and his cabinet sitting in a Situation Room contemplating what their next steps are. And my friend Seth Mandel over at Commentary has a really good question about that picture, has a really good question about all the hand-wringing and contemplation and debates and arguments going on in the Biden White House right now about what to do after this event. And his question is, why weren't Iran sanctions immediately triggered by the attacks? Why didn't they have a plan in place immediately? So if Iran strikes against Israel, boom, you pull the trigger and it's done. And why didn't they communicate that to Iran? You would think that the grown-ups, the adults, the smartest people in the room could have anticipated that Iran might strike against Israel at some point. And you would think, because, you know, this is what grown-ups are supposed to do when they work in national security and diplomacy. They're supposed to have scenarios set up, contingency plans set up. If A happens, what will we do? And then if we do B, what will happen if C happens? This is what the smart guys do, I assure you. Seth Mandel writes at Commentary on Sunday morning, barely 12 hours after the conclusion of Iran's unprecedented missile barrage on Israel. White House spokesman John Kirby was asked on Fox News Sunday about the Biden administration's recent decision to waive some sanctions on Iran. Excuse me. You know, the conversations about unfreezing assets, about waivers on sanctions. Could this administration have been tougher on Iran? Asked Shannon Bream. Kirby said it's hard to look at what President Biden has done with respect to Iran and say that he hasn't been tough on Iran or that we haven't put pressure on them. Really? Is it? Seth Mandel asks. Seems to me that if the administration was prepared militarily for the Iranian strikes Saturday night, and if the president doesn't want Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to retaliate, then a punishment of some kind could have been ready to be instituted immediately. And certainly 2 days later. At the very least, it would have been easy for the president to cancel the recent sanctions waiver. So where are the sanctions? Why didn't they have a plan? Why didn't they have something ready to put in place immediately after this happened? Especially considering that they knew this was going to happen. Jerusalem Post is reporting, as well as Reuters reporting, that three separate countries are now confirming that Iran's claims they would give 3 days notice of Iran's attack on Israel. Iran said, we were given notice. The U.S. was given notice. Biden administration denies it. Turkey has confirmed that Iran let them know in advance. Turkey told the U.S. U.S. conveyed to Iran via Ankara that its operation must be, quote, within certain limits. In other words, we were told they were going to attack Israel. And the Biden administration's response was, okay, as long as you, you know, keep it within certain parameters. Contemplate that for a second. The president of the United States and the administration and national security and foreign policy apparatus of the United States of America, of the country that you paid your taxes today to continue supporting, that government on your behalf conveyed to the madmen, the mullahs, the Islamic Republic of Iran conveyed to them, the people who call us the great Satan, your government on your behalf conveyed to them that they could go ahead with their strike against Israel, quote, within certain limits, unquote. They continue to lie to you. In fact, even in Biden's prepared statement about this attack, he lied. He said in his statement, earlier today, Iran and its proxies operating out of Yemen, Syria, and Iraq launched an unprecedented air attack against military facilities in Israel. I condemn these attacks in the strongest possible terms. That's a lie. Not the condemning part. Well, that's a lie, too. He didn't condemn it in the strongest possible terms. But did you catch the lie? An unprecedented air attack against military facilities in Israel. They weren't military facilities. It was the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It was neighborhoods in South Jerusalem. It was where mothers and children live. This is what terrorists do. It wasn't military facilities, but our president grants them that in the statement, apparently condemning the attack, and grants Iran that level of charity by, without any evidence and without any actual independent confirmation, saying, yeah, this was an attack against military facilities. No, it wasn't. Hat tip to my colleague Katie Pavlich at townhall.com, who wrote this article about this lie. She would know. Her husband is in Jerusalem right now as these attacks continue. There's more to come in just a moment. And I want you to hear Mark Levin. He called into Fox News Live from Jerusalem when these attacks were going on. You're going to hear that as well coming up. I'm Larry O'Connor, in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
It's all about Joe Biden and his administration's complicity in Iran's act of war against Israel. And now their arrogance in trying to lecture Benjamin Netanyahu how to wage a war and protect his citizens. Imagine being Netanyahu and having to deal with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Jake Sullivan, and Antony Blinken trying to tell him how to fight a war, trying to tell him how to protect his country. They're part of this. This administration is part of this. They're complicit in it. Gabe Kaminsky, great writer at the Washington Examiner. Iranian influence network members scored 10 Biden White House visits. You've heard about this story, right? This covert Iranian government-controlled influence network that was set up by the Iranian government. They started working at think tanks in town. There's now a handful of them that work for the Biden administration still. And three of them visited the White House from April 22 to December 23. Now, you don't get to visit the White House. Why do they get to visit the White House? It's Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin.
This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
My name's Larry O'Connor. I'm sitting in for the great one today on a critically important day in American history and world history. We spent our first hour talking about the Biden administration's cooperation and complicity with Iran's act of war against Israel. We're going to get into more of that coming up and the lies that you're hearing right now in the media. Well, you know, Israel attacked Iran's embassy. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. That's a lie. That's a lie. It wasn't an embassy. We'll get into that coming up in a little while. And we're also going to share with you Mark Levin, actually, who is in Israel. That's why he's not here today. Mark is in Israel. He'll be back later this week. But as this was all unfolding, he called into Fox News and gave a live update on exactly what was happening and what it looked like on the ground there. Please keep Mark and his family and everyone, all of our extended family in Israel, in your prayers as they not only endure this act of war, but continue to lament over the fact that their citizens are not only under threat on a regular basis, but are being held hostage by the sexual deviants and murderous monsters in Hamas, along with American hostages as well. And now they have to undergo this pressure on them and their nation and their government to somehow show restraint against this demonic nation that just tried to kill as many innocents as they could with their rockets and their drones. We're going to get into a little bit more of that. But today in Manhattan, we saw the beginning of what could be the end of our basic system of justice in this country, as charges against Donald Trump reached the first day of an actual criminal trial, charges that aren't even felony charges, except for the bastardization of the law at the hands of Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, a man who ran for office telling the voters, vote for me and I'll get Trump. You know, it's one thing for a district attorney to say, we have too much gun crime in our city. Vote for me and I'll get tough on gun crime. We've got too much gang activity. Vote for me and I'll get tough on gangs. Or we've got too much graffiti. Vote for me and I'll prosecute the vandals who spray paint graffiti everywhere. Or vote for me and we'll take care of all of the criminal vagrants who are sleeping on our streets in tents. Vote for me and I'll take care of all the thugs who go onto the subway and mug people and beat people up randomly. You know, by the way, every single thing I just itemized that you would normally hear a district attorney run on, those are all problems that are plaguing New York City right now as we speak. Those are the things you would usually hear a district attorney running on. That's their platform. Those are their issues. Very rarely, and by very rarely, I mean not ever, not ever, have you had a district attorney run for office on a campaign promise to target, isolate, and convict one individual, one person, Donald Trump, who doesn't even live in New York anymore. But that's what Alvin Bragg did. That's what Alvin Bragg did. Not unsurprising, the moment he got into office, he actually looked at whatever cases he had that he could bring criminally against Donald Trump and determined that he didn't have anything. And then one of the assistant DAs wrote an op-ed blowing the whistle on him, saying, yeah, he's not going to prosecute Trump. We have this case. We have this Stormy Daniels case, and he's not going to take the charges. Suddenly, he now gets serious about taking up this case that he had already dismissed, and so did the Justice Department. The Southern District of New York and the Department of Justice had investigated this whole Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, Michael Avenatti thing over a nondisclosure agreement. And they determined there was no there. So they dropped the case. Alvin Bragg certainly couldn't take up the case because they were federal charges. They involved the campaign finance laws, which are not in the purview of the Manhattan District Attorney. The next thing you know,
former U.S. attorney, or excuse me, former staff members at the Justice Department working under Merrick Garland, political appointees of Joe Biden. They take a leave of absence. They go work for Alvin Bragg in his office, and they spearhead the prosecution of Donald Trump. They rewrite and reexamine their laws so that they can somehow make a misdemeanor bookkeeping offense into a felony charge that involves campaign finance laws that aren't even under their purview. This entire thing will get thrown out eventually, but it doesn't matter because this isn't about the law. It's not about justice. It's not about the truth. It's not about precedent. It's not about all the things that people in the legal system are supposed to hold dear to their hearts. This is about the blind rage and obsession over one political figure, Donald Trump, and about the Democrat Party rallying all of their forces to one end, to stop that man. And now here we are on day one of the trial, jury selection. Jury selection taking place in Manhattan, by the way. The Trump team had one simple request. Let's move the venue here. We cannot get a fair trial here. We can't get a fair trial anywhere in a big city, but certainly not in Manhattan. Let's change the venue. And he didn't ask to change the venue to, you know, West Virginia or to Alabama or to Texas. He asked to change the venue to Staten Island, where maybe, just maybe, he'd have a little bit of a chance with that jury pool. And of course, the judge said no. Donald Trump arrived today and spoke with reporters before he entered the courtroom.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
He's absolutely right. By the way, while he was speaking, I'm watching this video that I just played for you. Trump giving his remarks. The Chyron on the cable network underneath says Trump speaks outside of hush money trial. Hush money. You see it everywhere. I hear it on my local station. I'm the morning show host on WMAL in Washington, D.C., a great talk radio station, been around for almost 100 years now. Mark Levin's radio station when he's in Northern Virginia, his home for the past several decades. But you even hear when the network news comes in sometime, you know, oh, Trump and the hush money, hush money, hush money. All the newspapers, hush money, it's hush money, it's hush money. It's not hush money. Well, do you know why they use the term hush money? Do you know why? And by the way, this was my I like Ron DeSantis. I think he's a great governor. I had an open mind. I stayed non-committed during the primary process because as a member of the media, I don't think it's my job to champion one candidate over another. I don't want to get in the way of the voters making their decision. And clearly the voters made their decision. My one public criticism of Ron DeSantis during the entire primary process was when this indictment came down against Donald Trump. And Ron DeSantis, if I remember, he was giving a press conference and he said something flippant. I'm paraphrasing. No, actually, I know exactly what he said. He said, yeah, you know, I don't know anything about paying hush money to a former porn star, but I will say this. And then he went on to condemn what Alvin Bragg and the district attorney's office did in Manhattan. But he prefaced it with a, you know, not his best moment, not his best moment. I don't know anything about paying hush money. The reason they use the term hush money is because it's already embedded in that term, hush money, is criminality, is illegal behavior, sketchy behavior. Who pays hush money? The mafia pays hush money. Who pays hush money? Criminals pay hush money.
Who pays hush money? People with dirty, dirty, dark secrets that have to be hidden. There's already this inference of guilt, inference of wrongdoing. I assure you that as you look at this case and as you watch it develop, the term hush money is not a legal term in any way whatsoever and will not be employed in a legal way. It'll be used with rhetoric, I'm sure, to taint the jury. Not that they need any help to be tainted. Donald Trump entered into a non-disclosure agreement with another individual. That individual signed the non-disclosure agreement, which said that she would not say anything in exchange for money. Donald Trump was running for president. This woman came up and claimed that she had a story that she was going to take to the press. Trump denies the story, but guess what? This happens a lot to people in the public spectrum. People that have a platform, people that have a profile. People are threatened often by individuals who are looking for a payout, for a cash bonanza. And they say, I'm going to tell the media all of this, and there may be circumstantial evidence that supports that story. And then they say, but I won't say anything, and I'll make the story go away if you pay me this amount of money. And it's, you know, bribery. It's blackmail. And oftentimes, people, it's just easier to deal with it, easier to make it go away. Make this go away, fine. I'll give you this amount of money, sign the document, go away. It's a non-disclosure agreement. You know, I look at these cable networks, including some of our favorite cable networks that use this term hush money. And I think to myself, knowing the kind of behavior that's gone on at those networks, knowing the history of some of the anchors and executives at those networks. And I think to myself, you know, something tells me that these networks are familiar with non-disclosure agreements. Something tells me that they have made cash payments in exchange for making a story go away. But with Donald Trump, it's all, oh, it's hush money is what it is. It's hush money. As we've already read a little bit of Mark Levin's thoughts earlier today about the attacks on Israel this weekend and the Biden administration, I want to take a moment and recall my pal Benny Johnson, who has a great YouTube podcast. He pulled up a video from last year. This is when the indictment came down against Donald Trump. Mark Levin on Fox and Friends had some thoughts about this indictment, and what he said a year ago about these charges resonate today as Donald Trump entered the courtroom. Listen to Mark Levin from 1 year ago.
And the Republicans better wake the hell up. We need to circle the wagons. We need to understand what we're up against. This is much more fundamental than some phony rogue case by a phony rogue prosecutor who was installed by George Soros and the Democrats. This is much bigger than that. So to answer your question, I don't give a damn about the processing that goes on in Manhattan and all the rest of it. You know, people quote a lot and they don't know who they're quoting. And that would be Beria. Beria was one of the great genocidal maniacs of all time. He worked for Stalin. In the end, he was executed himself. And it is Laverty of Beria, who was a massive, ruthless killer. And he was the one who said, show me the individual and I will show you the crime. And this man was responsible for horrendous acts. This country has now become a tyranny in many respects. And the American people feel it. The American people know it. They see what's taking place. The American media had become the Pravda media because it's loaded with Democrats in the American media. And look, even Fox, conservative talk radio, OAN, Newsmax, under constant attack, under constant pressure by sleazy lawyers, by sleazy, phony journalists, because they don't like the competition, right? And they're of ideas.
All right. Now you're going to hear more from Mark again a year ago as he really spells out exactly what's at play here in the indictment then and now the actual trial that started today. Also, you're going to hear from Jonathan Turley,
and what he had to say about this. Boy, what a journey Jonathan Turley's been on. Even Rich Lowry at the National Review, no great friends of Donald Trump, but they see exactly what's happening. Something about the events with Donald Trump in Manhattan today and with Iran and Israel over the weekend that has brought out the very best in conservative commentariat in the last 24 hours. And, well, it's certainly something that I want to share with you, and I will as we continue here. I'm Larry O'Connor. I'm sitting in for that man that you just heard, the great one, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
It's Larry O'Connor sitting in for the great one, Mark Levin, today, and we're going to continue our conversation about this miscarriage of justice that's just begun today in a Manhattan courtroom. I want to take your calls, by the way, on this as well. I'm sorry that I've had so much to say. 877-381-3811. How does this Manhattan trial affect your vote or your support for Donald Trump? Because that's what they're counting on. They're counting on you getting squishy and wobbly and saying, oh, if he's convicted of a felony, I'm done. We're going to get into that, but I want you to hear what Jonathan Turley had to say this morning real fast.
Yeah, everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. And so they took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer. Wow. And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
That's right. And they're still going to get a conviction because that's how the court system works these days. If Donald Trump is the defendant and it's in a city like Manhattan, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter. Turley had more to say in a column of the New York Post. We're going to draw on some of that. Rich Lowry, even in the National Review, no cheerleader for Trump. We'll get into that. And you, it's your turn for crying out loud. Let's talk Trump and this trial in Manhattan. 877-381-3811. Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. L-E-V-I-N.
They can clone the others, but there's only one Mark Levin, and you can call him at 877-381-3811.
Yeah, there is only one Mark Levin, and frankly, I'm not him. I am Larry O'Connor, sitting in for Mark Levin today. You can catch me at WMAL in Washington, D.C. Download the app. Find us. I'm sure your local radio station that you're listening to right now has a great morning show, but if you want to, you know, sample around a bit, we got a pretty good morning show. Waking Up America out of Washington, D.C. every single day. O'Connor and Company, myself, along with Julie Gunlock and Patrice Onwuka. And Mercedes Schlapp flies in there every week or so as well to let her voice be heard as my co-host. So we have a good fun. We have a fun team. You might enjoy it. Check it out there. Larry O'Connor sitting in for Mark Levin. I played for you Jonathan Turley real fast. Let's listen to Jonathan Turley again, summing up today's trial in Manhattan.
Yeah, everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. And so they took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer. Wow. And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
That's right. And Jonathan really had more to say in the New York Post, and I want to get to that as well. But this truly is the downfall of our court systems. Is this allowed to continue? Understand something. I don't like the reality of this. I don't like it. But the reality is the only proper response to this behavior is to do it right back at them. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of taking the high road against these people. I'm sick and tired of saying, oh, well, I won't lower myself to their behavior. Why the hell not? They're never that circumspect. They never stop and search their conscience. They never say, oh, we should take the high road, right? Oh, when they go low, we go high. They say that, they never do. Is it any lower than this? Is it ever any lower than this? The only appropriate response to the use of our court system as a political weapon against a person who is currently leading the polls right now by over 50% in this country in the national polls, which is an insult to your intelligence because that's not how we elect a president. In the state polls, if the election were held today, Donald Trump would be the president by over 300 electoral college votes. But even still, the national vote, where we haven't had a president win the national vote in a couple of decades, a Republican president win the national popular vote because California, and God knows who is voting in that state, racks up the numbers. And trust me, as a former Republican in California, I get it. Your guy's not going to win. You don't show up. Why bother? Why bother with the traffic? Why bother with dealing with the hassle of going to the polling place when you're 3 hours behind anyway? They're probably going to call the winner before you even get to the voting booth. So that's why the numbers rack up even more in California. It makes no difference. They've done that on purpose. They don't want people to feel like they should even bother to vote. But if they can use the court system to attack the man who is currently leading, even in the national polls right now, by over 50%, and would be president if the election were held today, the only appropriate response is to use these weapons right back at them. Only then do they stop and recognize, oh, geez, maybe this was a bad idea. Oh, man, maybe we shouldn't do this. Oh, we need to make a change here. You remember how the Democrats only called for campaign finance reform after Republicans outraised them election after election after election? Suddenly they say, oh, we need campaign finance reform. Because they're getting trounced, right? Then suddenly they're all bipartisan. I don't celebrate this. I'm not happy about this. But this is why we're headed toward destruction, because the only appropriate response is to do it right back at them. And now what do we have? Now where are we? Jonathan Turley actually does love the law. He actually does revere the law. Jonathan Turley wrote today at the New York Post, a serial perjurer will try to prove an old misdemeanor against Trump and an embarrassment for the New York legal system. Serial perjurer, who's he talking about? Turley writes, the famous Roman philosopher and orator Marcus Tullius Cicero once said, the more laws, the less justice. This week, New York judges and lawyers appear eager to prove that the same is true for cases against Donald Trump. After an absurd $450 million decision courtesy of Attorney General Letitia James, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will bring his equally controversial criminal prosecution over hush money paid to former porn star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. What hush money? Come on, Turley, you know better than that. You're better than that. Stop with the hush money. Lawyers have been scouring the civil and criminal codes for any basis to sue or prosecute Trump before the upcoming 2024 election. Yeah, let me pause there for a minute. It's shocking how the trial is starting today. Can I ask you something? Ask yourself this. Ask a friend of yours this who's celebrating day one of the trial on your Facebook. What do we know today about the Stormy Daniels non-disclosure agreement that we didn't know in 2019? What has changed? What is new? Why now? Why does the criminal trial happen now versus if this was a crime now, then it was a crime 5 years ago, but they didn't bring the charges 5 years ago. They're bringing the charges now. Why? What changed? What's different? What do we know now that we didn't know then? The answer is nothing. What's changed? What's different? The calendar. The calendar is different. This year is the election year. That's why it's happening now. They didn't bring the charges until it looked like Trump was running for re-election. They thought he was done. He's not going to run. Hey, we had the FBI raid Mar-a-Lago. What else do we need to do? He's going to hide in a corner somewhere. He wants it to go away. Mission accomplished. And by the way, who among us wouldn't blame him for that? Or would blame him for that? I honestly, if you're Donald Trump, you got your billions. You're married to Melania. Your youngest son is about to graduate high school. You got your Mar-a-Lago. You got your golf courses. You got your boat. You got your plane. Why do you need this hassle in your life? They were sure he was done. Then he puts together his apparatus to run for re-election, and suddenly all these criminal charges come. Suddenly a special prosecutor is named over January 6th, which, again, they don't know anything different now than they knew on January 7th. But suddenly we need a special prosecutor to look into it. It's politics, it's politics, it's politics, it's politics. That's all this is. And everybody knows it. Every single person knows it. That's why that sound you hear right now is Trump's polling numbers getting bigger and bigger as they keep throwing this at him. And that's the funny thing. It's like, oh, Trump just gets more popular. But this isn't about winning an election. This is about the destruction of our judicial process in this country. This is about the destruction of our criminal justice system, where Americans no longer feel like crime is punished in a judicious and fair way. And the law is applied equally to people, regardless of race, of sex, of age, of status, of economics, and certainly not of politics. Frankly, I don't care how it affects the election. I care how it affects our Constitution and our republic. Don't you? All right. I'm sorry. Back to Jonathan Turley here. They've charged him with everything short of ripping a label off a mattress. Just a few weeks ago, another judge imposed a roughly $500 million penalty in the case without a single victim who lost a single cent on loans with Trump. Now Bragg is bringing a case that has taken years to develop, millions of dollars in litigation costs for all parties, that is all over a crime from before 2016 election that is a misdemeanor under state law that had already expired under the statute of limitations. Like his predecessor, Bragg previously scoffed at the case. However, two prosecutors, Carrie Dunn and Mark Pomerantz, then resigned and started a public pressure campaign to get New Yorkers to demand prosecution. Pomeranz shocked many of us by publishing a book on the case against Trump, who was still under investigation and not charged, let alone convicted of any crime. He did so despite objections from his former colleague that such a book was grossly improper. Nevertheless, it worked. Let me pause there for a minute. That's the only lesson here. That's the only lesson to the Romneys and the McConnells, and to the Lindsey Grahams, and to the pearl-clutching Republicans, what my friend Kurt Schlichter would call cruise ship conservatives. We're better than that. We won't get dragged down to their level. We're going to take the high road. No, no, no. Let me repeat that. Nevertheless, it worked. Remember when Harry Reid took to the floor of the Senate where he's protected from defamation laws? It's a great loophole if you're a member of the Senate. You can say whatever the hell you want. You can lie about anybody you want on the floor of the Senate, and you can't get sued for defamation or slander. And he said, you know, some people are saying Mitt Romney never even paid any taxes or filed taxes. And it was, of course, a bald-faced lie. It was a lie that Harry Reid knew was a lie. Mitt Romney loses. Barack Obama wins. He's asked by a reporter, what about that lie you said about Romney not paying taxes? Reid's response, it worked, didn't it? Why are we worried about stooping to their level? We could never stoop to their level. If we were taking yoga classes for 20 years, we could never, ever stoop to the level that this scum has stooped to in this country. You won't dirty your hands with this? Then you won't have any hands left because they'll be in handcuffs because they're coming after you next. You fools. Jonathan Turley, nevertheless, it worked. Bragg brought a Rube Goldberg case that is so convoluted and counterintuitive that even liberal legal analysts criticized it. The Justice Department spent a huge amount on the case to show that the third-party payments were a circumvention of campaign finance laws, but Edwards was ultimately found not guilty on one count while the jury deadlocked on the other five. That's the John Edwards case from 2012 that is similar. That was the cover-up money and really was hush money to keep his mistress quiet. With Trump, the Justice Department declined a repeat of the Edwards debacle and did not bring any liberal charge. But Bragg then used the alleged federal crime to bootstrap a defunct misdemeanor charge into a felony in the current case. He's arguing that Trump intentionally lied when his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, listed the payments as retainer costs rather than a payment. Remember when Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for the Steele dossier, which was just a package of lies about Donald Trump claiming Russian collusion, and that was said to be legal fees on the expenditures for the campaign and the DNC? Remember that? They got fined for that, by the way, by the FEC. A fine, slap on the wrist, they paid it. It goes away, doesn't get any attention, no criminal charges. How is that different? How is that different? Actually, it's worse. It's worse. Understand that the charge here is Trump entered a nondisclosure agreement through his lawyer and the lawyer for this actress, Stormy Daniels. And when he paid the nondisclosure agreement through his lawyer, it was notated as legal fees. When Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid a former MI6 spy in London to come up with the fake Russian dossier that started the Russian collusion hoax, that was paid as a line item as legal fees. That then instigated the investigation into Trump's campaign, eventually his presidency, leading to a constitutional crisis, a special prosecutor. Trump was exonerated. No Russian collusion was ever found. And Hillary Clinton started it all, and she called it legal fees, just like Trump did. With an NDA. Hillary Clinton's dining out at the nicest restaurants, producing a Broadway show, drinking Chardonnay until she's blue in the face. Donald Trump is facing criminal charges in Manhattan. And you wonder why people have lost faith
in our criminal justice system. More on this miscarriage of justice, more on this case, more on how this is much bigger than the November election. And yet, without victory in the November election, it will get much, much worse. More on all of that coming up in a moment. I'm Larry O'Connor. I'm in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
During today's jury selection in Manhattan, Judge Mershon told Donald Trump that he could not attend his son Barron's high school graduation. In fact, he went so far as to say that if Trump went to the graduation ceremony instead of going to his day in court, he would be thrown in jail. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Trump spoke to the media after he emerged from the courtroom.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court on a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court, because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing, over nothing, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be.
It's Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in America with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, much, much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. My wife Julie and I decided it was time to add more flowering trees to our landscape, and Fast Growing Tree was a great resource for us. A large selection and no hassle ordering or shipping. This spring they have the best deals online, up to half off on selected plants and other deals, and listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. LEVIN. Now that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code LEVIN. VIN at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code LEVIN. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit FastGrowingTrees.com for details.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
It's Larry O'Connor sitting in for the great one, Mark Levin. I'm the morning radio host on WMAL in Washington, D.C. That's the Titan Talk Radio station on the Eastern Seaboard. Broadcasting from your nation's capital, the Mid-Atlantic, to the entire nation, we're America's morning show, O'Connor and Company. Check us out every morning from 5 to 9 a.m. or subscribe to our podcast. I'm also a featured contributor over at townhall.com. In fact, I've been with Town Hall for well over 5 years now, and I do a daily video show over at all the Town Hall sites, but also on Rumble, live at noon every day. We also post it up at YouTube later if you're into YouTube. It's called Larry. We couldn't come up with a good name, I'll be honest. We just call it Larry. There aren't a lot of Larrys out there. Let me be your Larry. Can I be your Larry? I want to be your Larry. So check all that stuff out if you can. I'd appreciate it. And you can find me on all the social media platforms. Larry O'Connor is my name. And it's great to fill in for Mark Levin. Mark Levin is actually in Israel. Mark is in Jerusalem, I believe in Jerusalem. Could be in Tel Aviv. I believe he's in Jerusalem. He will be returning to the program later this week. But I wanted to share with you what he had to say as the missiles and drones were bombarding the people of Jerusalem Saturday night. He phoned in to Fox News Channel, the big weekend show, I think Jason Chaffetz was hosting. And here's what he had to say, live reporting from the ground there in Israel.
For a long time, don't. Do you think that's actually working? Is that resonating?
Well, my show that was supposed to air, yeah, look at it. It's really had a great effect.
It's really had a great effect. By the way, the cutoff there, Jason Chaffetz was saying, you know, Joe Biden, for the last year, his message to Iran has just been don't. Don't. Yeah, let's not forget this moment here from Joe Biden.
Let me say again to any country, any organization, anyone thinking of taking advantage of this situation, I have one word, don't.
They laugh at this man. This man is the personification of weakness. This man is a joke. He is a punchline. Who fears this man? Who fears the United States of America? Who is intimidated or concerned in any way whatsoever from our foreign policy or national security apparatus right now? It always amused me. This happens all the time. It happened after 8 years of Bush. It happened after 8 years of Reagan. It happened after 4 years of Trump. The rest of the world hates us. We need the rest of the world to be our friends again. We need a president who's going to make nice with the rest of us. I don't care. I don't care if countries around the world like us. I don't care if they're our friends. I don't need them to like us. I want them to respect us. And yes, if necessary, I want them to fear us. Is that ideal? No, of course not. But it's a hell of a lot better than whatever it is we've got right now, where we are a joke. A sad, dangerous, deadly joke. So yes, that was the question to Mark Levin. The president's message has been don't. How's that working out?
Is it working? Is that resonating?
Well, my show that was supposed to air, yeah, look at it. It's really had a great effect. General Keane, I don't know if it'll air Sunday or not, he said something that was extraordinary. His contacts in the Central Command, that's who coordinates with the Israelis and the others in the Middle East on our behalf. He said they recommended multiple times to the White House, to the State Department, that they hit Iran, that they hit their refineries, that they hit their some of their missile sites and so forth in response to these endless terrorist attacks against our troops, against Israel and so forth, to push them back, that they know the mentality of the Iranians when they are slapped and slapped down hard. They quiet down for a while. But instead, what the Biden administration has done is they've attacked our ally openly, repeatedly, obsessively, publicly. They have threatened to cut off arms. As far as I know, they don't even have all the Iron Dome missiles because they were starting to slow walk some of these. They were investigating the Israeli company that provides an essential part for the Iron Dome. Joe Biden is a ping pong ball. He says, I support Israel, but what if Israel decides, you know, we've had enough of this. We cannot allow our citizens to keep running to basements every 3 days. And they keep picking off our people left and right. You're right. Hezbollah has 150,000 missiles. We're just supposed to sit here with the United States sit here. I suspect what the Biden team's trying to figure out is how to keep a rein on Israel. And what the Israelis are trying to figure out is how do we respond to this when we have to keep looking over our shoulder? I think that's the big issue. Your experts have been fantastic. Some have said it's going to be limited. Some have said this is a first wave. We don't know. I suspect the Israelis and the United States are pretty good handle on that. But really look at what Jordan did. It shut down its airspace so the United States and Israel could do what it needed to do. And you look at how quiet all those Arab countries are. They're watching. They're rooting for Israel and the United States. Iran is trying to overthrow Jordan. Iran has taken over Iraq. Iran has taken over Yemen. Iran has taken over Lebanon. Iran is not interested in a two-state solution, a five-state solution. It is an Islamist fundamentalist regime. This is something Biden and Blinken and the other reprobates can't seem to get through their damn heads. This is not a war about a two-state solution. It's a war that's even bigger than Israel. This is a war for the survivability of the planet and whether this planet is going to be mostly free or mostly tyranny. And Iran has gotten away with this over and over again, and it's too bad that it falls to this little tiny country to try and confront them. And we will see how much Biden supports Israel. Oh, he'll support him in the first, you know, week or so, but we'll see, because he has a funny way of showing. He says one thing and he does another. And I just want to thank I want to thank the American Armed Forces. They are the best of the best. And I feel 100% secure with two of the greatest militaries on the face of the earth, the United States and the Israeli.
And we know, Mark, that the U.S. has now, we have confirmed, Fox has confirmed, the U.S. has shot down some of these drones or missiles underway. Mark Levin, host of Life, Liberty, and Levin, joining us live on the phone.
That's right. Also, more importantly, the host of the Mark Levin Show, heard every evening, 6 p.m. Eastern, live on this station that you're listening to right now. Larry O'Connor here sitting in for Mark Levin, but that was Mark Saturday night calling into Fox News Live as he was watching this terror rain down over his head in the skies of Israel and Jerusalem. And he's right. The U.S., along with British and Jordanian military interests in a coalition. You know, we always hear that we need to have military coalitions. Countries shouldn't go it alone. Well, this was a nice little coalition. You had the UK, the USA, Jordan, and Israel all teaming up to shoot down these missiles and rockets and drones coming from Iran. And I want to be clear here, because you can see the video of these missiles that would have rained down on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque was built on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, of course, is the last, the Wailing Wall, and the last remaining stones that constitute the second temple in Jerusalem. This was the temple not built by Solomon, but built by Herod the Great, that was demolished in the first century when Rome decided they'd have it, had enough of those uppity Jews. And Rome decided to demolish the temple. All that is remaining is what is now called the Wailing Wall and the Temple Mount. And when the Muslims came in and conquered Jerusalem, they built their mosque on top of that temple. This is what they do historically, what they do everywhere they go in every country they have conquered. They build a mosque to replace the religious building of the prior regime, who they have just conquered. When the state of Israel was reestablished in the 1940s, it fell to the Israeli government in charge of Jerusalem to protect that holy site, this holy site that is shared between Muslims and Jews. And by the way, Christians find great holy resonance with the temple, of course. This is the same temple that Jesus purged the money changers from. This is the same temple that Jesus, standing on the steps, said, "Tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." Of course, as we know, he was speaking of the temple of his body. It was left to the Israeli government to protect this holy site of the three great monotheistic Abraham-based religions. And they have done so since their existence. Do you think the Iranian government would be so protective of this holy space? Do you? I don't. In fact, I know for a fact that there wouldn't be, because as I saw the drones and missiles raining down on Jerusalem, I saw the shot of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. A mosque that in the eyes of the Muslims in that region is seen as what? I think I'm told the fourth holiest site of that faith. But from the Jewish perspective, it is a mosque that represents dominance and a dark conquering of that city centuries ago. But they still protect it. And as those Iranian missiles were raining down toward the Al-Aqsa Mosque, it was the Israelis and the Brits and the Americans, along with Jordan, that protected the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It was the Israelis who protected the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount from the Iranian regime and their missiles. Were it not for Israel, the Al-Aqsa Mosque would be in ruin right now at the hands of Iran. It took Israel to protect a holy Muslim site. Everyone who says, "Oh, there's both sides have a legitimate case here in Israel. It's not that cut and dry. It's not black and white. There's a lot of gray area. It's very complicated." No, it's not. They are not the same. And I'm hearing a lot of talking heads, a lot of our friends over on MSNBC, CNN, the broadcast networks, trying to equivocate this horrific, aggressive act of war from Iran, saying, "Well, you know, what do you expect? I mean, Israel just attacked Iran's embassy in Syria. So, of course, they were going to have to retaliate." It's a lie. It's a complete and total lie. Israel did not attack an Iranian embassy. Israel did not attack an Iranian consulate. Israel did not attack an Iranian annex of their diplomatic mission in Damascus. They attacked a military headquarters that was adjacent to the embassy, but shockingly, the embassy is still standing because this was a laser-precisioned targeted attack. Very different than what we saw raining down in Jerusalem over the weekend. Do you know how all of us can reach an agreement here on the fact that this was not an attack on the Iranian embassy? I've got a simple answer for that. The Iranian ambassador to Syria
is alive and kicking today. So is his wife and his children, because they were asleep in the embassy, as all ambassadors would be, and they were left unharmed because the attack was not on the embassy. It was on a military building adjacent to the embassy compound, and it housed one Mohammad Reza Zahedi, a general with the Quds military force. They were involved in planning the October 7th massacre. It has been confirmed now by multiple sources that this was the man who was part of the planning of the October 7th attack. Even if you go to Wikipedia, which is usually a cesspool of facts and information, even they point out, who were the casualties in this attack? You think this was an attack on an embassy? Listen to the casualties. 16 killed in total. 7 Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps soldiers. 5 Iran-backed militiamen. 1 Hezbollah fighter. What's a Hezbollah fighter doing in the embassy in Damascus? 1 Iranian advisor, 2 civilians. Does that sound like an embassy to you? Does that sound like a consulate? Does that sound like some sort of diplomatic annex? It was a miraculously, perfectly precisioned attack against a military asset. It's like saying that when we went into Pakistan in that compound to get Osama bin Laden, that in some way we were attacking some diplomatic annex, that it was an assault on Pakistan. It's an outrage. But again, Israel is held to a different standard than every other country. More on this, and more on the Biden administration and their involvement in the Iranian attack on Israel in a moment. I'm Larry O'Connor, in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail, and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already, and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And it's Larry O'Connor sitting in for Mark Levin today. Larry O'Connor, you can find me on social media under the name Larry O'Connor. I know it's weird, but I'm wherever you're looking. Facebook, X, Rumble, YouTube, I'm there. And I'll check you out. And you can send me messages. And I love that stuff. It's the best. I got a text from a friend of mine. You know, I do the morning show in D.C. on WMAL. And you know, morning shows have a different vibe. I'll be honest with you. People used to say, you know, well, you're not as intense as Mark Levin. And I'm like, yeah, because Mark Levin doesn't do mornings. No one wants to wake up to Mark Levin. Okay. But when I do Mark's show, you know, I get this text, you sound really intense today. You're not like this. It's, of course, I'm intense. And not only because this is the Mark Levin show, and I think that this audience expects a certain level of intensity, but also if you're not intense about what's going on in the Middle East right now, if you're not intense about what Donald Trump is facing in a courtroom in Manhattan and the repercussions, the election tampering, the dominoes that will fall if they have their way. There's something wrong with you if you're not intense. It's time for your calls. I've said enough. Let's hear from you. 877-381-3811. I'm Larry O'Connor, in for Mark Levin.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The establishment's worst nightmare. Mark Levin. Call in now. 877-381-3811.
Larry O'Connor sitting in for Mark Levin. I got to tell you. I've had the opportunity of being the beneficiary of Mark's generosity and gracious support by being able to fill in for him on a semi-regular basis. Now, I don't think I have ever dominated the first two and a half hours of his show without ever taking one phone call. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now with this administration siding with the Iranians, knowing this attack was going to happen, all the reports confirm. And now putting pressure on Israel not to do anything about it. This comes after 2 weeks ago, last time I was on the air here on the Levin Show, 2 weeks ago, where we told you the truth about this scum, Jose Andres, and the dirty little secrets behind the World Central Kitchen. And how, you know, the accidental drone attack against them was then suddenly going to lead to us comparing Israel to Hamas. You've got all of that going down. And then you've got Donald Trump facing this criminal trial in the middle of a presidential election in Manhattan against every possible judicial norm and legal, established legal precedent of over 230 years in this country. And it's hard for you all to get a word in edgewise. but it is time here. I've got more to share with you, by the way, a little bit more to discuss, especially about these protests that erupted, spontaneously coordinated across the country, and how they handle things a little differently with these pro-Hamas terrorists in Florida versus New York and San Francisco and some of the other places we saw them today. But let's turn to your calls, if we could. Susan in upstate New York, listening to the mighty WABC in Manhattan. Susan, thanks for calling in. I'm Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin.
Larry, yes, I have the pleasure. I'm not really a morning person, but I do.
Me neither, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, my God, you would never know it. Your show with your three adorable babes that are on with you, was it Julie, Patrice, and Mercedes?
People call in for the chicks. It's true. That's why they're tuning in. There's something about hot women on the radio.
Well, no, it's just a great chemistry, your tete-a-tetes, and as I said, I'm not really a morning person, but I find myself sometimes chuckling before even 6 a.m. Wow, when I'm listening to you, so that is, like, amazing. But I do also feel like when I'm listening, I get to hear, like, a little more inside, you know, it's, like, really the extent of the people that you get on there on, you know, Washington, D.C., and those interviews, I don't hear them anywhere else, but I also feel like a very camaraderie with you because you also are in the, you know, the gulag there in Washington, D.C. with these judges.
Yes.
And and really like the type of violent, vicious crime that's going on in D.C.
Yeah.
and in New York City, where I lived for 40 years.
Well, Susan, it is reflective of pretty much every major city in this country, and it's moving to the suburbs, too. That's why we focus so much on the crime problem, because it's an insidious destruction of our culture. That's the thing. When you don't care about law and order to the point where you can let criminals walk the streets, then you ignore basic norms of law and order where you can prosecute a presidential candidate. It's all tied together, Susan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to our show. I'm not going to let Sid Rosenberg on WABC know about this. It's okay. I'm yours now. You are mine. And I will be your morning show. I'll be your Larry, Susan. Thank you so much. That was very kind of you. And I'm going to send this audio to my program director in Washington, D.C. You might help me with my new contract with that call. Let's get to, if you want to call in, by the way, about Trump, about Iran, about Israel, about the WNBA draft, we'll take your calls. I'd love to talk with you about it, whatever it is. Kidding about the WNBA draft. I have nothing to say about that. Actually, that's not true. I do have something to say about the WNBA draft. This Caitlin Clark, she's great, right? Coming out of Iowa, she's going to be the number one pick. She's going to be a gajillionaire. She's going to be huge. And she's fantastic. And I take nothing away from her. She seems fantastic. She could make a lot more money in the men's NBA, though, couldn't she? I mean, if she's that great a player, why doesn't she come out for the men's draft? And I think you all know why. I think if you can answer that question, then you can also answer the question as to why so many of us are upset about how women's sports are being ruined by Democrats allowing men to play in women's sports. There's our WNBA draft conversation. All right, let's get to Kirk in Alaska. Kirk in Delta Junction. Kirk, I have never taken a call from Alaska. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. My question is it possible that Biden could offer amnesty to all of the illegals coming across the border?
Legally, no. Now, will he attempt to do it if he thinks it will help him politically to win the election? In a heartbeat. Will it be litigated in the courts for several years? Absolutely. But right. By the time it actually reaches the Supreme Court, will it be allowed? Probably not. Although at that point, so much damage would have been done, and the only reason he would do it is knowing that it was unconstitutional would be for political favor. So, I mean, Kirk, it's exactly what he's doing with this student loan thing. He's already been smacked down by the Supreme Court, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the law. He doesn't care about the Constitution. The answer to your question is no, he can't, but he still could if he wants to. I hope that's somewhat satisfying.
My concern is if he loses, he still has time to do the amnesty thing, and it would certainly, if that could be pushed through, he would destroy the Republican Party. You know, there'd be so many Democrats at that point that the Republican Party would be devastated by it.
Yeah. Kirk, thank you for that. I hear what you're saying. Here's what's interesting about this. I wouldn't be, and thank you for the call, Kirk. I wouldn't be so sure that every person coming into this country, if they were, I don't want them to get, they shouldn't get amnesty, and I don't misunderstand me. But everybody immediately assumes that means that they're going to vote Democrat, and it would destroy the Republican Party. First of all, the Republican Party is doing a fine job destroying itself, sadly. They need to grow a pair. Or as Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana said earlier today about Joe Biden, they should get on Amazon Prime and order themselves a spine. Love that man. The fact of the matter is, even the newcomers, as Biden and the Democrats insidiously call them, it's only taken one election cycle for the people that came in under Barack Obama to immediately see how bad the Democrats are. The Latino vote is actually moving in droves to Donald Trump. Again, I only say this because it is destructive to our nation and our culture and our natural fabric to ignore the laws of our nation, open the floodgates and let anyone in and then grant them amnesty. It's damaging on multiple levels. I wouldn't be so sure that it is an immediate destruction of the Republican Party. Shockingly and surprisingly, if you actually poll the people who were coming in. That said, all we need is, you know, a good 100 or so terrorists to come in and execute a coordinated attack on this nation. And, well, none of the other stuff really matters. All right, let's get to, is that David in Racine, Wisconsin? Boy, well, Wisconsin's going to be ground zero this year with the convention for the Republicans. And David, are you going to deliver Wisconsin for Trump this year?
I don't know. We got a lot of equine posteriors in this state, so, you know, that is really up in the air.
Thank you for keeping that FCC compliant, but we read that. We get it. Thank you very much.
That said, I was wondering, my comment on the Iranian situation and this administration is in the form of a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we can pry the lips of the Biden administration from the posterior of the Iranian regime? I mean, maybe even if it's super glued on, maybe get some nail polish remover, you know, that might help.
Yeah, it is a remarkable thing that suddenly the intelligentsia of the left-wing Democrat Marxist foreign policy experts have all determined that the solution to any issues in the Middle East all goes through Tehran. And I point to Valerie Jarrett as the person who has spearheaded this. Valerie Jarrett is a descendant of Iranians, was one of the top advisors to Barack Obama, was actually probably one of the strongest voices in the Obama administration, and many say continue to have an influence on this administration. Why they all suddenly decided that the country that calls us the Great Satan is the one that needs to be supported, elevated, propped up, and assisted in that region, I still don't understand, other than they hate and loathe Israel so much they've decided to back the horse that has promised to destroy that country. And they love and embrace chaos so much that when they look at the Middle East, they could only think to back the evilest of regimes in that territory, because all they want is to sow destruction. And it is shocking to me that the majority of the Democrats seem to be on board with that, including Chuck Schumer. David, I wish I had a better answer for you.
Well, like I said, just maybe my equine posterior spreads beyond here in Wisconsin.
Well, just keep the faith, keep your head down, and do whatever you can to organize your neighbors, because Wisconsin is going to be critically important. My friend Scott Walker, your great former governor there, and he is a friend, and I get to work with him quite a bit here in D.C. at Young America's Foundation. He tells me that Wisconsin is very much in play and is winnable for Trump. So I hope the Trump campaign checks in with Scott Walker on a regular basis. David, thank you for the call. How about Diane in Grand Junction, Colorado? Diane, come on in here. You're next. I'm Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin.
Hi, Larry. I'm calling because I can't understand the deafening silence that is going on in the House of Representatives and the Senate while Trump is being persecuted in this banana republic fashion. They should come out with statements condemning this. And I called our conservative representative, and her phone lady that answered said, oh, we have nothing to say because we're federal, and what's going on in New York against Trump is a state court. But they do have something to say. They should say, this is outrageous.
Well, yeah, whoever told you we have nothing to say, you should probably call that congressman's office back and take names and numbers, because that's completely inappropriate and wrong. Of course they have something to say. And you hear individual congressmen. I think our speaker is very much in the spirit of this. And I have heard him make these statements, if not a formalized document that is voted on. I've heard Jim Jordan say as much as well from his position. And James Coburn, Jason Smith, the great chairman of the Ways and Means Committee from Missouri, have also spoken out about this. Whether Congress gets together and passes a resolution that condemns what's going on in Manhattan, they could do it. Diane, but also, sadly, what difference would that make? I mean, honestly, they can say something, but sadly, they can't do anything. I guess the only thing they could do is defund. Well, no, they couldn't even they can't defund the DA's office in Manhattan. They can't do that either. And they wouldn't have the votes in the Senate. So, I mean, they could certainly make a statement. And you see individual congressmen making those statements.
And they could defund something because, I mean, federal money is just pouring in there after the illegal aliens.
Yeah, they could defund something. They certainly could defund something. And they could threaten New York with that. Diane, thank you for that. You know what? Hang on the line, everyone. There's more calls coming in. And I also want to share with you a couple of other audio bites that we've gathered for the day, including something remarkable that happened on Bill Maher's show over abortion that you need to hear. It's a great moment, actually. Where actually some truth was told in this abortion debate in this country that you need to hear. It actually, Bill Maher unwittingly painted the pro-abortion side of this debate in the starkest of terms. And if you are so-called pro-choice or pro-abortion, you need to hear how he honestly characterized your position. It's a position he shares, by the way, and it needs to be heard, and you're going to hear it. Next.
Mark Levin.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's Larry O'Connor in for Mark Levin. I promise this. I want to play it for you. I want you to hear it. Bill Maher's show on HBO Real Time. Piers Morgan and an Irish journalist with The Economist talking about why America is now embroiled in this discussion over abortion. Listen.
Europe, for example, by comparison, the 60 countries of Europe. Actually, there are many countries in Europe where it's completely illegal to have an abortion. Poland, Malta, you know, places like Andorra, you know. So, and if you look at Germany and France and countries like that, it can be 10, 12 weeks is the term limit that you're allowed to have an abortion legally. So America is not such an outlier. It does go to the States. I think a lot of Americans on the left do think that this is somehow a really unique American problem or an issue that only pertains to them in terms of the legality of abortions. Actually, comparative to Europe, it's not massively dissimilar.
That's right. In fact, under Roe v. Wade, America stood alongside North Korea and China with the most radical abortion allowances. In France, if you want to get an abortion, I think it's 10 weeks right now is the limit, maybe 8 weeks. And you need to have an ultrasound. You know, funny how if a woman sees the ultrasound and sees a heart beating and an arm moving, suddenly they have second thoughts about this procedure. I'm told Democrats like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton, they want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. If they really want it to be rare, why are they against having an ultrasound before the procedure? But then this Irish woman jumped in.
But the thing that's crazy is at a time when America is facing so many huge geopolitical threats, where there's a huge tech revolution going on, where the economy is faced with all kinds of challenges. The idea that you're fighting an election around this issue seems to be, you know, just strange.
Well, first of all, we're not fighting an election over this issue. Democrats want to make it about this issue, but the next president literally will have nothing to say about abortion. But if it's weird that we're having this discussion now, it's because 50 years ago, the Supreme Court preempted the conversation and debate we should have been having. But then Bill Maher said this.
Pro-life, the pro-choice, they don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you.
That truly is the pro-choice position.
I'm sorry to break it to you. It is the killing of a life, and Bill Maher is just, well, ballsy enough to say it out loud. It's Larry O'Connor. Thanks for listening to Mark Levin.